It's 6:05 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620. It's 60 and mostly cloudy. Good morning. I'm Mark Jacobs. There's some rain around as well. Traffic on the fives now. Here's Davis Allen.
Yeah, and with that rain, just keep those headlights on and drive with a little extra caution, especially when you're trying to get to the front gate of NAS Pensacola. It is delayed. That's really the only delay I'm seeing around town. Backed up to Interbay Avenue by the Shell Station. And then if you take a look at Garcon Point Bridge, I'm not really seeing any delays, and that's going to be the case for Avalon Boulevard. Gulf Breeze Parkway through Navarre Parkway also checking in clear, and I'm not seeing any delays along itinerary 110. And this report's brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Over 40 years of service, they're big enough to get the job done yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no hassle estimate. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Pensacola police continue their investigation after a body's found in the water near Scenic Highway. Happened just after 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon between Manolette Street and Langley Avenue. People walking along the beach area reported that body. PPD's Brittany Sturgeon says so far there's no identification. Police did not release any other information as of yesterday. A Sunday morning accident in Santa Rosa County resulted in the death of a Pensacola man and seriously injured his passenger. FHP says the 23-year-old driver of a pickup lost control on Highway 89 north of Milton. Truck ran off the road into a ditch, became airborne, then collided with a culvert. The driver and passenger both ejected, both airlifted to Sacred Heart Hospital, where the driver was pronounced dead. Over the course of the coronavirus pandemic, food giveaways and clothing drives have been the lifeline for lots of struggling families. Reimagine Ministries hosting many such events, the most recent one at Bellevue Middle School this past Saturday. Event goer Nikki Hester telling Channel 3 the events helped her get back on her feet.
I'm getting clothes, I got a bunch of food, and I got a free meal. It helps my stomach.
Reimagine seeking to help impoverished communities across the area. Saturday, they gave out over 20,000 pounds of food. 52 new positive COVID cases, but no additional deaths reported Sunday in Escambia County. One additional death, 41 new cases in Santa Rosa County. The state added more than 5,000 new cases and 95 new deaths. The Republican Accountability Project rolling out another ad campaign, this time in support of Republicans who voted to impeach or convict former President Trump.
The National Anti-Trump Group is reportedly spending about $1 million on ads. The TV spots are set to air on Fox News. The organization is also bankrolling billboards for the same purpose. They initially promised to spend $50 million in support of GOP legislators who impeached Trump.
That's Brian Shook reporting. The same group pushed TV and billboard ads aimed at denouncing Republican lawmakers, including Congressman Matt Gaetz, who supported Trump in the wake of the U.S. Capitol attack. Florida gas prices jumped last week as Arctic weather shut down Texas refineries, caused a surge in fuel prices. On average, Florida gas prices jumped 15 cents last week. Drivers now paying an average $2.61, the highest daily average since July of 2019. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
A bit of a wet start to your work week today. A 50% chance of those showers mainly before 10 a.m. Cloudy skies through mid-morning, then gradually clearing as we head through the rest of the day. That high today near 70 degrees. Overnight tonight, clear skies. That low falling near 40 degrees. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
60 in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze. 58 in Milton at 6:09. Our next news at 6:30 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Planned on attending just to encourage our delegation to consider looking at reforming FDOT and the way they're doing business. I mean, and I know that's politically, I'm not supposed to say that, but I just got reelected, so I'm going to say it. We've got a project in my district that's an absolute goat rope. I'm going to use that term. 24 months behind schedule, bright sunny days, no one working, no one's responsible, it's not the contractor. I say something, it's not FDOT. You know, I'm a bad guy for saying it. Other states in this union, they put their contractors on performance contracts. And if you finish early, you get paid. You get paid extra. Look, let's do it.
So this is a this is from over a month ago, but it's been sitting around in my my audio box waiting for a moment that I would talk about it. And today happens to be that moment. You know, as we're looking at the possible partial restoration of the bridge between Gulf Breeze and Pensacola, as we're looking at the rumored fabled ending of the 9 mile construction saga, as we're kind of keeping a side eye on US 29 and, I mean, you know, pick it. Okay, right? The question is whether FDOT needs reform. Now, when Commissioner Bergosh, talking in this county commission meeting, this is an agenda review, like, gosh, this is on the 7th of January is when I first cut this audio. And I just had, honestly, this is one of those I've had so much going on between now and then that I haven't managed to find the time to squeeze this in. But I wanted to today for reasons you'll understand throughout the morning, because I'm going to have Alex Andrade on in a half hour, and I'm going to have Matt Gaetz on in an hour and a half, and I want to get their both of their inputs on this possibility. He's talking about reform. Right. And he's talking about things like incentive pay and the way we structure contracts. And then, of course, the handling of the barge disaster with the bridge.
But to be 24 months behind schedule and just get change order after change order, excuse after excuse, you know, this is on top of what happened with their project that ended up with barges crashing through bridges, the toll system 2 years ago. Someone has to take the bull by the horns and say, we've got to rein this entity in. It needs new leadership, it needs new structure, and it needs performance-based contracts that actually get done on time.
So, I mean, I agree with him. Certainly I agree with him in principle. But it leads me to a different question. And the different question is this, 437-1620, I very much want to get your input on it. Is it an agency in need of reform? Because if you ask anybody, they will tell you that FDOT is the 8 billion pound gorilla in Tallahassee. And, you know, pushing them, getting them to do anything, it's a mess, okay? And to me, whenever I look at government doing a marginal job or worse, to me that's a governmental entity in need of reform. But how do you get reform of something like FDOT? Well, I have a theory. You ready? What if we elected the Secretary of Transportation? What if we elected the Secretary of Transportation? Instead of it being an appointed position, instead of the governor being in charge of this, what if we, every 4 years, got to vote for an additional cabinet member, the Secretary of Transportation? Did I say education? Transportation. I hope I didn't say education. Did I say it education the first time?
Anyway, there's an Asian, so I think you're good.
The point is, if we elected the FDOT head, here's why, and feel free to disagree with me about this, okay? 437-1620, 437-1620. His basic thought. We have elected officials that nobody knows. Be honest, okay? We have the Secretary of Agriculture, right? What does she do? 18 different things. I mean, there's like 20 entities that all fall under her jurisdiction. If she does a bad job at any of them, how do you punish her? Well, do you find a new person? You know, it's just an amorphous entity. You're not happy because she's slow walking gun permits. Okay. Elect a Republican. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you've got a gas pump certification, orange groves, you know, and gun permits in one, that's crazy talk. Because there's no real accountability. But if you had the Secretary of Transportation get to be elected, now all of a sudden, if people don't like how the road projects are going, they vote. And what better way to make the agency accountable directly to the voters than to take the one issue that is the most obvious to the people who use the product? The voters use the product. We can see whether it's going well or poorly. We can tell whether the information, and trust me, look, there's a lot of things FDOT does well. They've gotten a lot better in recent years at information flow, but it's still really bad compared to what you would want. And the perception, and look, everybody hates their Department of Transportation, typically in every state, but it shouldn't be that. They provide the most basic service other than police that government provides, roads, You should have some control over that. Do you feel like you have control over the roads? Do you feel like you have the ability to reward or punish effective or ineffective management of roads? I don't. I mean, it's the governor, and you know all the stuff the governor does. I mean, it's, what, a representative? When you vote for your state senator, are you going to change FDOT? No chance. So, for my own sake, and I'm not really the one who's eager to start to push for a constitutional amendment. I don't like them in general. I would vote for this one 100%. Secretary of Transportation, one role, one person on the ballot every, even 2 years. Make it quick. You know, I don't mind putting a secretary in there and elect them every other year. There's no reason to make it. You don't have to make it a 4-year post. Quick response time, 2 years by political standards. 6:15 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
And just starting with the front gate of NAS Pensacola, it is backed up around the area of the Wings and Things sewing complex now, so this should take about 10 minutes to get you onto the main gate. I-10, I-110 still checking in clear along with Avalon Boulevard, and also now mentioned seeing on Gulf Garcon Point Bridge going northbound as you're leaving Gulf Breeze. Looks to be a little slow moving, but nothing at a dead stop. Once you get onto the bridge, you should start moving at a consistent speed. And once again, Avalon Boulevard checking in clear. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So Christina Leavenworth sold 130 homes last year. She and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty sold 130 homes last year during a pandemic, during a down economy, with the bridge out, you know, and all of the uncertainty surrounding all of those things, 130 homes. That's pretty good for being 3 years selling homes. And she used to tell me, she said, Andrew, I guarantee that if I and the person selling the home, if I and the client, if we come to an agreement about a price, I can sell that home in 30 days or I will not take a seller's commission. And she was telling me the other day, she's like, Andrew, I'm not making it like an official promise, but I can just about guarantee 7 days. We're that effective. It's working that well. If I put a home on the market, I can probably get multiple offers. I can often get above list price and do it within 7 days. They just had a home over at Marcus Point. Three offers in a day above list price was the close. Had a home over at the airport. 8 offers in 1 day. I mean, and I'm just telling you, whenever I talk to her, I get more stories about these exact kind of results. So you got to take the right pictures. You got to use social media effectively. You got to put the right stuff on the internet. You got to know how to work effectively and, you know, do all the things that they do. And you got to answer the phone and talk to people. You got to do all that stuff. It doesn't just fall out of the sky. But her office, they know how to do this. So if you want to sell a home or you want to buy a home, all right, either way, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty, they can help you. 723-9158, 723-9158. Here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
Good morning. United Airlines grounding 24 Boeing 777s after an engine exploded on one of the jets over the weekend. Planes being pulled from service powered by the same engines as the one that failed Saturday shortly after takeoff from Denver. The plane landed safely, but pieces of that engine rained down on a residential neighborhood. Nobody was hurt. After a week of punishing weather across Texas, the power's mostly back on, but other problems persist. So many broken water pipes, the demand for plumbers is sky high.
But right now, we just go in. It's like triage. Go in, fix it, go to the next one.
The storm crippled water systems across the Lone Star State. Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes and fiancée Brittany Matthews, the proud parents of a baby girl, confirming the news on Instagram over the weekend. The daughter, the couple's first child, her name is Sterling Sky.
Okay. To whom?
Patrick Mahomes and his fiancée.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did see it. They're an adorable couple, by the way.
Yes.
They really, yeah. I mean.
But Sterling Sky.
Sterling Sky. It's a girl.
I like it.
Yes.
I like the name. I like the name Sterling. Especially right, for a girl. Different. I think it's a good name.
Sterling, I don't
Sterling
know
could be
Sterling.
Either.
That's a generic.
Generic.
And to their credit, they're not stealing a boy's name.
No.
that's often the case, is boys' names get stolen by the girls, and then, you know,
right,
they can never really go back to being a guy's name thereafter.
Frank, for instance, you know, it's terrible.
Kelly. Sean. All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. We discovered that naming our sons is like, there's a lot of names that shift over time. And one of the shifts is that they become girls' names. You never see names go backwards. You know, Edith is never.
never Although I've seen Ashley applied to guys, or Michelle.
Yeah.
Like those are like the rare occasions. It's like we thought this was going to be a girl.
Yeah, that too, yeah. Or, you know, they're really married to a family name. Mark, you look like you wanted to jump in on that. No,
there's always a boy named Sue.
Well, all right. Thanks, Johnny. 620 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. What else do we have going on? Okay. This is... Do I want to get into this? There are some topics that I know you can't just really win on. It's not possible. But they're still fascinating, and so I'm always tempted. And this is what we don't talk an awful lot about life issues, you know, abortion issues. But there is an interesting bill that's been proposed. And it's in Tennessee. And it raises a bunch of fascinating questions. That's why, you know, I like things that are, you know, stimulate your thinking a little bit. I know on a topic like abortion, everybody just gets really angry right away. That's okay. So you have Republican lawmakers have introduced a bill. And look, I know that when bills get introduced, it means nothing. It's just that that's the first step of the process. And a lot of times you get reporting about the bill when it's first gets introduced. And nothing ever comes of it. But it's a bill that raises interesting questions. It would allow the father to prevent the abortion. Right, allow the father to basically prevent the abortion. And you don't have to prove DNA, which is kind of an interesting one, but a voluntary acknowledgement of paternity. So that's the first kind of blush of the bill. And I think as a pro-life person, generally I despise all abortions, so I'm kind of in favor of anything that's going to restrict them. I'll just be honest with you. You know, I prefer things that were, I prefer a world where abortion doesn't happen. I prefer it where unwanted pregnancy doesn't happen, but that's because I want everybody to want pregnancy and get married and, you know, normal things. But when things don't work out that way, what do you do? Well, if you're going to have responsibility by a father after birth for a child, then you have to give some say ahead of the decision, is the way I have always viewed this. As a trade-off, right? If a father is going to be responsible if the woman carries to term in a situation where you have the choice not to, then you either have to take away his responsibility after the fact if he's not interested, or you have to give him some responsibility in advance of the fact about whether the child gets carried to term. To me, that's a fairly straightforward logical analysis. But this bill goes farther than that. Okay, and, you know, as somebody who believes that a dad may well have an interest in a child, even if mom doesn't want the child, okay, this bill goes beyond that and doesn't make any exceptions. This is particularly for rape and incest are the ones that come up. And again, as a pro-life person who believes that the way a child is made doesn't determine their value as a person, you know, I know people who are the result of both of those horrible things, and they're really glad that their mom decided to keep them, right? So how you're made doesn't determine who you are or whether you're a person, but it's a hard conversation to have, for sure. But there is something, even me as a pro-lifer, even me who really wants to end all abortions, you know, and wants life to come to pass, even I balk at the notion of allowing the rapist to decide that the child, I'll just tell you personally. I think the death penalty for rapists. You know, like I don't have any problem with that. For forcible, violent. I mean, for, you know what I mean. I have no problem with that. So asking that person what they think, I don't care what that person thinks. Now I want the child, because it's a child, to come into existence, but I have no interest in what the abuser thinks about the situation. So I think they've made a misstep in the way they've crafted this, even though sort of philosophically I agree that all children, regardless of how they're made, are children. Asking the criminal what should be done, even I can't really go along with that. 626 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Yeah, and taking a look at Garcon Point Bridge, as you were going southbound, or northbound, I should say, going across the bridge, it's just moving at a slower pace. I would say about 35 miles per hour, it appears. And with that, we are seeing delays on Gulf Breeze Parkway as we're going eastbound. It's being delayed back up to around the Loha Grill Sonic Drive-In area. Now, Avalon Boulevard itself is checking in clear, both north and southbound. And I-10, I-110 checking in clear, but what is not checking in clear is the front gate of NES Pensacola. It is delayed, backed up beyond Central Avenue now, so this is going to take you some time trying to get onto the main gate. And this report is brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. I'm Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you got a car, then you need a car repair shop. Right? I mean, you don't necessarily need it for repairs, although probably we all do, but you certainly need it for regular routine maintenance. And you know that if you do regular routine maintenance, you're going to prevent a lot of those repairs because you're going to catch them before they're problems, right? Okay. But you need somebody to do oil changes and tune-ups and just change the belts and all that kind of stuff. But if something happens or it gets past you, you know, whatever, maybe you got a repair and you don't know what you need. Is it a big one? Is it a small one? Do I need it now? Do I need it in 6 months? Can it wait? Does it, I mean, you know, how urgent is it? These are all the questions that everybody has all the time. Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway. Go there. Try them out. Just try them out. You know, go in there for something small. Go there for the oil change. Just, you know, get a sense of them. But listen, what they specialize in, I mean, anything, really. But they specialize in diesel trucks and imports, especially the kind of high-end imports that you take across the bay, you know, to go to the dealership when really, who wants to do that? Is it great use of your time? Is it great use of your money? Or, well, you can just take it over to Bobby Likas Auto Service because that's what they specialize in. Right there on Davis Highway, Bobby Likas Auto Service, or you can find more online at carclinicservice.com. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to be talking to State Representative Alex Andrade. We're going to be talking to him about this idea, crazy wing nut, but it's my idea, that maybe we ought to elect the Florida Department of Transportation Secretary. We'll also be talking to him about the ECUA bill that Representative Salzman pulled and the Gulf Breeze audit and other matters as well.
You know more because you listen to Pensacola Right Now with Bobby Rossi, 4 till 7 p.m. weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I do hear a, if not repentant, at least responsive city government that says, we understand. We didn't just get jumped on. We had some reasons we got jumped on, and we're going to fix them. That's where you need to be.
State Senator Baxley, Chairman Baxley, over the auditing committee in the response to the Gulf Breeze audit that was completed last September, and then they heard the presentation of the audit and the response by Mayor Terry Fitch and Administrator Sam Abel on Thursday. I watched all of that meeting and read most of the actual audit and the responses to it. It was very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. Joining us now, I mean, I have my own take on this, but I'm curious to get somebody else's. Alex Andrade, he is a state representative for District 2. That includes Gulf Breeze, also Pensacola Beach, and the southern half of Escambia County. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. You are a well-trained professional municipal lawyer. What was your read of the audit results? The actual audit came back in September, but the presentation was on Thursday. What? Any comments? Because, I mean, it wasn't requested by you. Obviously, it was requested by Senator Broxson. It was before you were in office, I think. But any thoughts on the audit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, any audit like this is going to go back. You always hear hindsight's 2020. I don't have to be an apologist for some of the decisions that were made, you know, 6 years ago or close to a decade ago in some circumstances. But, you know, every now and then a good pair of fresh eyes looking at how Gulf Breeze manages its, you know, the CTA and the Gulf Breeze Finance, you know, board and whether or not the decision to buy a golf course at the city was a good decision. It's good to have a fresh pair of eyes on it, and ultimately the findings were nothing criminal occurred, nothing inappropriate occurred. They could have done it better, and they got recommendations to do it better. And I don't think that an encouragement for more transparency, more openness in government, and more willingness to enfranchise people that live outside of the city of Gulf Breeze but receive services from Gulf Breeze is a bad thing.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. In fact, the issue of annexing Tiger Point, for example, to bring it in the city since they're supplying water to that, that makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, one way or the other. You know, if the city's going to provide a municipal service, but people, if they're not voting members within that municipal boundary, that's a basic problem. You want either or, right? You want them to be in the boundary and be able to vote, or you want them not getting the services if they can't vote. Do you think that's a realistic outcome of this, that we're going to have an expansion of the city limits?
I don't know. Those are questions that will have to get handled by the city council and the mayor. And it also have to be a question answered by the people outside the city about whether or not they want it.
Right.
We don't have a shortage of, if you remember the Okaloosa gas issues and everything else, we don't have a shortage of complex municipal representative issues here in Northwest Florida this year, from the ECUA on down.
Yeah, no, I agree, and we'll talk about that in a second. And I also thought their observation that having these complicated, interconnecting, interlayered organizations like SURS and Gulf Breeze Capital Trust and just all of that's sort of inherently problematic. If we could clean that up, that would be a better thing. You brought it up, so I'll bring it up as well. The ECUA bill, Michelle Salzman, Representative Salzman, had this bill on schedule. You know, it had been approved by you guys when you did your vote here at the legislative hearings, and it was going to work towards creating term limits was, I thought, the primary, but there were some other things involved in it. The bill's now been pulled. I had people asking me actually over the weekend about this. I should probably call Michelle, but do you know what's going on with this bill?
So before the delegation meeting, there was an analysis done of some of the proposals in there. One of them that was a big concern for me was a wholesale change in how ECUA purchases products and services. There was nothing in the grand jury report related to products and services issues, and the analysis said that it would have increased costs and decreased transparency and oversight for my constituents. And so I asked that it be pulled before the bill get heard at our delegation meeting. The section on procurement was pulled. We voted on a clean bill that just had term limits and then technical fixes that would actually make ECUA more efficient and ultimately, hopefully, cheaper for my constituents. But when the bill was filed after the delegation meeting, this procurement language made its way back in. I brought it up to the bill sponsor, Representative Salzman, and asked her to amend it out at the first committee stop it would have been assigned to. 2 days later, the bill is dead, and I have not received an adequate explanation as to why.
Okay, so there was a section on procurement, and I've looked over the response by J. Bruce Woody, the executive director, to that section and why he thinks it would require hiring of numerous positions, it would add tremendous cost, and might even wind up reducing accountability because of some of the measures. I've read his response. It's very thorough. So you objected to that element of the bill. She had pulled that from the bill that you voted on at the legislative delegation meeting. It was a clean bill on term limits, and now it had been filed with a version of the procurement back in place, and now the bill's been pulled. And because, I mean, I'm a little bit stunned at all this. I don't understand.
Neither do I. I didn't ask that anything else get changed. I just said bring it back to the bill that we approved at the delegation meeting.
Sure.
That's what was publicly noticed. That's what was publicly discussed. It was term limits, and then it was several small technical fixes that ECUA needed to update the special act and work more efficiently. This was a good government bill that would have reduced costs for my constituents to use ECUA in my district. So I don't understand the need to pull it, especially when the vast majority of the Sambians support term limits. I'm not sure why we would eliminate a bill that supported term limits in this context.
There was one weird element, if I read it right, you correct me if I'm wrong. The term limits would have been retroactive also. Like, if you are already on the board for the two terms, that would disqualify you, right? It wasn't just going forward.
That was an initial proposal that felt very targeted towards some specific board members who'd kicked off some people here in town. I'd requested that the term limits just be term limits going forward. I didn't care if there were 8-year term limits or 12-year term limits. I just said that we should not be the hatchet men for different feuds here in town. If you support term limits as a policy, you should not target them towards any specific board member. And so the bill that came through the delegation meeting was just a term limits proposal going forward.
Okay.
So it would not have been retroactive in the bill that we approved at the delegation meeting.
Okay, so that was an initial one. Fair enough, which I agree with. I mean, that makes much more sense to me. We're talking to Alex Andrade. He's the state representative for District 2. Alex, hang on for me for just a second. Let me get a quick traffic break with Davis Allen.
And the front gate of NAS Pensacola is where I'm seeing the most delays. In fact, it's almost backed up now to Winthrop Avenue. So this is going to add about 15 to 20 minutes to your commute. And also keep in mind that Garcon Point Bridge going northbound, it is delayed as you're leaving Gulf Breeze, causing also minor delays eastbound on Gulf Breeze Parkway. I'm Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Back to Alex Andrade. Alex, we're off this week, or you're off this week from committee. It's the week before session. So I think the expression you used for me with me one time was you're getting your affairs in order, which is a funny way to put it. But okay. Obviously, since you and I last talked on last Monday, we had this FDOT presentation where they announced that they were the plan was to have the bridge reopen with two lanes, effective overall flow through by the end of March, and then Memorial Day for everything, including the roundabout and the four lanes. Your thoughts on that? Are you satisfied with that as a kind of an alternate to get traffic flowing?
Well, of course I'm not satisfied. I'd be satisfied if the bridge were repaired and we were on schedule for the second span. But I think two lanes with a guaranteed opening date to traffic before the end of March gives a lot of people hope. And so the focus just remains on keeping the tolls on Garcon Point lifted until we get the full four lanes back on Three Mile Bridge. So since we've been doing since September, I'm bugging the governor's office just to make sure that Governor DeSantis continues to keep that toll lifted on Garcon Point.
Until four lanes.
Until we get four lanes back and we reestablish our traffic capacity on Three Mile Bridge. But I think two lanes on Three Mile gives a lot of people hope. I'm knocking on wood that it gets opened on that week of March 22nd.
All right, very good. Related to that, something that I brought up earlier this morning, a couple weeks ago, Jeff Bergosh, Commissioner Bergosh, raised the issue out of his frustrations with Nine Mile, among other things, that FDOT just is not responsive, does not have enough performance metrics, is not held accountable. It's just the $83 billion pound gorilla in Tallahassee. And so I raised the question, well, what if we made it an elected position? What if the Secretary of Transportation was directly accountable to the people every 4 years or even every 2 years? And we could really vote, yes, we like how the roads are being done, or no, we don't in the state of Florida. Do you like this as a reform idea? Do you think FDOT needs reform? You're very connected to all of these issues. What do you think?
We used to work at DOT in the executive office, and I have a good relationship with both Secretary Tebow and Secretary Gaynor, our district secretary, and running transportation policy every year in the House. I would say no. If you don't like how FDOT is operating, the person you get to go hold accountable is the governor. And if you don't like how FDOT's operating, you can go hold me accountable, go hold your state senator accountable, go hold, any number of elected officials who sign off on the budget or execute on policy accountable. I've yet to have an FDOT issue come across my desk that FDOT hasn't resolved for my constituents who brought it to me. So I don't think that there's necessarily a wholesale change that needs to happen to make FDOT more responsive. If you have an FDOT issue, you can reach out, and they're not being responsive to you, you can reach out to me. Since I sign off on their budget, they're motivated to make me happy, I think, sometimes. So So if they're not responding to you, reach out to your elected officials who are responsible for the same infrastructure and hold us accountable in the process.
Well, I think that, you know, the frustration by the citizens is, and you know this, okay, they look at Three Mile Bridge and they look at both the delay in the original construction and the obvious problems with the rebuild. They look at Nine Mile, they look at US 29, they look at Avalon, and they think, every time over and over and over again, this stuff never seems to be on budget, on time, the way it's supposed to be. How do we gain more accountability to them? You know, you say you can get responsiveness, but I mean, you know, it's always like this, or at least that's the perception. That's why I raised the question of making them accountable. You know, if we're going to have a Secretary of Agriculture who oversees gas pumps and, you know, and concealed carry permits, why not give us a clean, this person's responsible for the roads. We use the roads every day. We can vote or not vote on them.
Well, that's why my approach is why I focus on infrastructure, why I talk about infrastructure nonstop. I host town halls on it, and I'm willing to do that constituent work because I think we have elected officials who are far too focused on the minutia, on nominal wins, and they're not focused on the core governmental responsibilities that they take on when they get in certain positions. So, you know, that's on me. If you're not happy with infrastructure in House District 2, contact me and I'll work on it. And we'll make sure DOT is as responsive as it can possibly be. Now, I can't control the weather, and I obviously can't control the timeline on a $500 million bridge. And unfortunately, I wasn't in charge of supervising securing barges before Hurricane Sally, but that's obviously something I've taken responsibility for, and I'll continue working to make sure that we're as responsive and efficient as possible.
And I will give you credit based on both your background and what I know about what you do effectively right now. As much as any state legislator can do, you have done. But that's the ultimate question, is whether the maxing out of the abilities of a state legislator is adequate to get FDOT where it should be. But I certainly appreciate the work that has been done, and I definitely appreciate the contrasting perspective. I always like to let people hear different views. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2. Alex, thanks so much for the time, as always. Have a good week off, and then we'll talk to you next week when session begins.
Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. 6:51 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. And I will tell you also, if you don't mind the bumper sticker, Alex is as responsive as anybody in government. I mean, there are other people who are as, but there's nobody more responsive than Alex is to me when I have questions. So I always appreciate that. We'll be back in just a minute. For a gallon of gas, $2.63. Florida, $2.60. Lee Vining, California, $4.99. Bumping up against $5. Selma, Texas, $1.84. When you look here locally, if you are in Navarre this morning, it's $2.51 east at the Walmart, $2.61 up 87, $2.55 west at the Walmart. And I got no report on gas prices in Gulf Breeze, so the gas is either free or you can't buy it. $2.55 in Tiger Point, $2.52 at the foot of the Garson Point Bridge, $2.49 in Milton this morning at the CEFCO, $2.51 down Avalon, $2.49 across the Walmart at P Ridge, and then $2.59 in Pace. In Pensacola, best price, $2.55 at the Walmart on 9 Mile. $2.49 at the US 29 Murphy Station in front of the Walmart. And then coming in from the southwest side, looks like the Navy Exchange has $2.51 if you're not allowed to buy it there. $2.48 at the TNC Food Mart on Navy. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
The House getting busy today, working on the new coronavirus relief package. House Budget Committee set to take up that nearly $2 trillion package. A little Latin lesson from Dr. Anthony Fauci yesterday on CNN's State of the Union, talking about teachers being prioritized for getting a COVID vaccine.
I don't believe that it should be a sine qua non that if they're not vaccinated, they should not go back. I believe we should prioritize them and get as many vaccinated as we possibly can.
I had to go look up sine qua non for without which not.
That's
meaning,
right.
You know, it's absolutely indispensable or to get the result that you want.
Oh, Jen Psaki got asked about how, you know, CDC versus Kamala Harris, and her answer was as prevaricating as possible. She's just.
I like that. Sine qua non.
I know.
I'm
going to
start using that.
Word.
Using right. that in every newscast. Nearly half of Republicans would join a new party led by former President Trump, New Suffolk University. USA Today poll says 46% of the GOP would leave their party behind.
Interesting. All right, Mark, thanks for the update. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, in the golf world, Max Homa getting his second career PGA Tour victory over Tony Finau. He's probably the best golfer to always finish runner-up. Tony Finau, he always finishes runner-up. But anyways, this was at the Genesis Invitational. Bubba Watson, who is a three-time winner, actually did not make the cut, so he had an early week. Actually, heard he was out on the boat, out in the Gulf, so I'm sure him and his family had a good time. Also, Novak Djokovic, number one tennis player in the world, won the men's title at the Australian Open. And also, just a quick hockey update. On Sunday, your Pensacola Ice Flyers lost to Huntsville 6-3, and then on Saturday, when they had played, I believe they played Huntsville, Birmingham, rather, on Saturday, they had dropped that game as well, 4-3. And with that, let's go ahead and roll us into your traffic on the fives, where I did receive a report that westbound on the I-10 bridge, we have two stalled out vehicles. One stalled out in the middle of the bridge, the other one stalled out at the foot of the bridge on the Pensacola side. So this is westbound on the Escambia Bay Bridge on I-10, two stalled out vehicles on the westbound direction of that bridge. Garcon Point Bridge northbound is slow moving as you're going across the stretch of the bridge, but does check in clear on Avalon Boulevard. And I'm still seeing major delays at the front gate of NAS Pensacola, backed up all the way to Gulf Beach Highway. The back gate is open. I'm Davis Allen with Traffic on the Fives.
You know, when it comes time to get your carpet cleaned or freshen up your drapes, there's just one place to go. That's Elite Services Quality Clean. David and his team of experts are a professional, full-service carpet, tile, and grout, oriental, and area rug cleaning company. You get a free quote today. And remember, it's not clean unless it's Elite Services Quality Clean. Six fifty-nine here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Future news, Davis and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Will we have an elected FDOT secretary? Will that be a change in the Constitution?
No, I don't think so.
I also think no, and I'm getting some really good feedback from people on this as well. It's just a fascinating question to me. OLF 8, there seems to be an inching towards agreement among the county commissioners. I dare say, fingers crossed. I can't believe I said it out loud. Will they actually agree eventually soon?
Yes.
I think yes. Yeah. We'll be back in a minute.